Now, do you know anything about body positioning or what was used? And don't tell me, but will you have enough if I say, like, this is the part of the body or this is the weapon? Will you know any of that?
I've seen crime scene photos.
Okay. I'm just looking at her picture. She's got almost an angry look in that when I lean back in my chair. But certainly she looks like she would always tell you the truth. She looks like she's committed in her own beliefs, and I feel like even now she's going to want to help. I'm hearing something about her shoes were rather weird. Either they cut her straps broke on her shoes, or something's out of place with her shoes. Would that make sense?
I don't know.
Can you remember anything at all about shoes or what was on her feet?
Mm-mm.
Were the feet bloody, do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. Now, these pictures you can go at any point and go back and check. So she's got to start somewhere with this, and she's starting with the feet. I want to try this, too. Is she in or near the bathroom when the body's found?
No, but the water was running in the bathroom.
That's exactly what I'm getting. That's exactly what I'm getting. I couldn't tell if it was bathtub, sink.
Water was running in the bathroom.
Absolutely, that's what I want. And these are the kind of validations I need. I need to know that it's not coming from me. You know, it's definitely her giving it. So, and it also put me in a mode to think, like, whatever's happening here, she was pulled away from it, or she was running bathwater, or something like that's going on. I just feel like she had no clue this was going to happen. That's the way it comes in. I'm also feeling that, I don't know why we're going to bring up the topic, but she had money hidden in her cabinet, maybe in jars, containers, like maybe flour, where you keep flour and stuff like that. I'm feeling that there was money hidden, and that could be the target. Would you know if that's true?
I wouldn't know that.
Okay. Dan or Donald? Dan, Donald. And I don't know where that's going to fit around her. It could just be like husband, son, or something like that, but I know I'm hearing it.
Okay.
And it could be the perpetrator. It could be the real guy that did this. And forgive me, but once I'm in this mode, my brain's going like a million miles an hour. Did you already give me the name of the guy in prison?
No.
What is it?
Name?
Yeah, I like it.
Charles Raby.
There is a problem here because from what I'm seeing from her, if we got him out of prison tonight, it's a feeling of there is proof that he either knew her or had been in her house, was connected to her in some way. Is that true?
Yes, she knew him.
Yes, she knew him. What I'm getting is a straight line from her down to him, and she just said to me, because she seems kind of straightforward, she said, I didn't say he did it, did I? And I'm answering her saying, no. And I said, I'm kind of with the belief already that that Charles did not do it. And she just put her palms up in the air like, well, then why is he in jail? She is really, she's saying it's bad enough what happened to her, but what happened to Charles is even worse. And and Charles is, there's a religious side to Charles. I don't know if he used to go to church, or she went to church with him, or knew him from church, but I'm absolutely getting church. I know you said he had his problems, but all, you know, I did too growing up. All you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And now it could be
I think he's questioning God right now, and it has been for years.
That would work for me. And I don't know how much you know about the spirit world, but she's traveling at the speed of light. If he's thinking about her, she's going to know about it. It's almost like Google, you know, like, hey, Edna, I don't like this situation or whatever. What I do, Angie, I'm in my office in my chair, and I'm very good at doing meditation and clearing my brain to leave room for the spirit world to put whatever they need in. And I saw her taking something out of her mouth, but to me it looked like when you take gum out of your mouth and you put it in like a tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if that happened or they have evidence of that? And it might just be an absolute fact that she remembers either she took it out or someone else took it out. There's chewing gum involved here, whether it's her or the assailant. I don't know which. Absolutely chewing gum. you know, I haven't had drama or thought about it, or but she's showing it. So that, and by the way, this is normal. She's going to start in slowly and work her way into this, though. Is she Italian?
I don't know. I think her maiden name was, it may have been, I kind of saw it as maybe a maiden name was like a Lebanese name or something of an ethnic origin.
I could even go with that, because what I'm seeing are sheep, mountains, I'm seeing the old world. Like, you know, it's making me feel like that's where she comes from. And it also made me feel like, I don't know if she had any pets in the house, but I would expect to see them because I feel like she was a true animal lover and would take care. Do you know if she had a dog?
I don't know.
Okay. It's just part of her energy, part of her makeup that I'm touching in with right now. You haven't indicated how she died. There's many ways, gunshot, hanging, you know, strangulation, drowning. There's all kinds of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me, was her heart punctured?
It may have been, partially.
Okay, so I've got,
she was stabbed.
I wish you could see my hand right now. Remember that movie Psycho with the knife going in
mm-hmm.
and out? That's exactly what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that stabbing's right around the heart. And
that's one of them. One of the areas.
Okay, and she's making no bones about it. How that hurt so bad. She had no idea it could feel like that. And she kept waiting for that pain to go away, go away.
Aww.
And she said she yelled at him. She, even with all the pain, she was screaming and yelling, and he didn't want to stop. And she's saying that he's a lot shorter than Charles, a lot shorter. And I feel like he's got short black hair going on, too.
Was it one person? Do you know?
That's all she's indicating, and it's okay that you're asking questions. Because the minute you answer it, I mean, ask it, she hears it, and they'll usually update and show me. I'm feeling
mm-hmm.
absolutely one person. I'm not getting – there could be a getaway car. There could be another person. Feels like the getaway car or the arrival car, whatever you want to call it, was actually backed up to the door. It's like right there within the, you know, within the crime scene.
Okay.
It's giving me the feeling only, not from her, but – like, this guy was going to empty the house out, and maybe she didn't know she was there or whatever's going on. I'm feeling he was going to empty the house out, and I don't always get accuracy, but I'll give it for the hell of it, is I'm seeing an older green car with, what would you call it, oxidation on the car. It's not at all shiny, and a little bit older model for its time. And when I get into this mode, I just want to keep giving. And I'm also feeling we must be in the warmer weather because I'm not seeing the assailant wearing like a jacket or a sweater or any of no gloves. I'm not seeing any of that. Do you know if it was like good weather that day?
Well, it was October, but October can be warm in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forget it. You know, by the way, I don't play on logic. I don't say, oh, it's Texas, it's going to be warm because it'd be January. We get cold down here. I'm just letting you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play games with it. It's that she's seeing him in a short sleeve, and it's even like a T-shirt, and I'm not seeing logo on it, but I do see stripes on it, on the T-shirt.
Okay.
She did not know him. She's telling me she did not know this guy.
Any age? Age range?
Yeah, I want to go fairly young on this guy. Like, I want to put him right around 19 to say 23, right in that bracket. And I'm very good at when I get these images to feel the age. It's the spirit,
okay.
I can't guess, because even Edna will come out a lot younger because they can do that, and usually they do. And
is he still alive, or is he deceased?
Ooh, good question. Good question. He's there, and of all my, it's weird that I'm looking at one thing, like he might already be incarcerated somewhere, and I'm getting that he's Mexican.
Okay.
And I only absolutely go by what they show me. Very quiet man, she's saying. He had very little to say to her. He was there for a purpose. I hope it's not contrary to the evidence. I'm seeing a knife on his belt or on him, meaning he used his own weapon. He didn't grab one off her counter, and I hope I'm not wrong on that. If it was one of her knives, they would be able to figure that out. But I'm not getting that. I'm getting he brought with him his own knife.
Okay.
And I don't know what this is, but he was doing something to try to cover his face, whether it was the old style over the nose and over the mouth. He didn't want her to recognize him. So there was some type of obscuring his face from her when he enters in. So there was no doubt in her mind what he was there for, and she knew she was in deep trouble.
Okay.
And she kept pleading. She said, I kept telling him, take what you want. Take what you want. I'm going to go with this because of the way...
this poor woman.
I know. This is, and this I have to say it because of the way she gave it. Her biggest fear that he was going to take her in the bedroom and rape her, but he did not.
Her undergarment, her, she was nude from the waist down when they found her.
Then he must have done that after
that. There was no signs of sexual assault.
Okay, but even to get to that stage, she was already out of the body. But she was afraid she was going to be raped and then murdered.
Oh.
And it did, and Ben told me it didn't happen that way. But for her to, you know, be partially stripped was obviously the sicko doing it after that. So, I mean, talk about adding. And how can a guy be aroused at that moment to want to? I don't get it. I don't understand.
You've got to be a sick human being.
Sometimes I think I'm from another planet because I don't get this.
We were afraid that it was staged, but apparently it wasn't.
No, I'm getting her fear. I'm getting her... You mean that she was in on it?
Okay. No, we were afraid that someone else had come in and staged it to make it look like it was an attempted sexual assault.
She's telling me she's not aware of how that part of the undressing happened, but it was not. She was already up in heaven. She was already out of the body.
Aww.
And I know from experience that even people that were on, you know, when I lived in Boston, don't forget the second plane to hit the World Trade Center left Logan Airport. So I did a lot of readings for people that had family on that second plane. And it was, they all reported the same thing that, like, God takes us out of the body before the crash, before the pain. And I'm sure the same thing happened with her. She's not remembering, like, she said it was all music and all piano music and all this stuff. And she's on her way up to heaven and left all of that behind. And she's even saying she was pretty well ready to go. She'd kind of like, even though she was, I don't know her health, but she's just saying she'd had enough of living. She was done.
Aww.
Let me see where, if she can give a little more. She was trying to claw him or dig at him. She was trying to get evidence under her fingernails. And I don't know if he has a watch on or a bracelet on, but she's really focusing on his wrist. Now, sometimes I've got it backwards. If she lost the watch or a bracelet, it can come through just the opposite sometimes. But
okay.
I'm seeing it as her trying to, like, grab his watch or grab his bracelet, something off his wrist, and also claw him, because all she cares about is justice and this little person being...
Because she knew.
Yeah, because she knew the outcome. She knew what was going to happen here. Do you know if he used a pipe to enter? It's kind of weird what I'm getting here. I'm not getting a key. I'm not getting... But if he used something to smash glass and then open the door, it would kind of fit.
Mm-hmm.
It would. I don't think she had the door unlocked, did she?
I don't think there was forced entry, but she was found on the floor near the front door. And it almost appeared, I'm just guessing, it almost appeared like she may have gone to answer the door.
That's what it sounds like. But I don't know why I'm getting like a pipe near the door. You know what I'm getting here? I think that he was prepared if someone comes to the door, I've got a club or a pipe or whatever, And I can use it to get in, but if she opened the door, then I don't have to do all that. Because I'm getting what she's seeing. I mean, I get to see what she saw.
Okay.
And did they have any proof of the car backing up to the front door or near?
I don't even know if they had that, any of that. You know, a lot of, they focused on Charles.
Damn. Yeah. Right, let me just hang. She screamed when you said that. I'm like, no, it's not him. It's not him. And I want you to keep on the case. I just heard from a higher being up there, you will prevail. He will get out.
Oh.
And I like that. Let me just stay along that line. We all have spirit guides. We all have, and I could go on all night with some of the stories I give people, and I hang up the phone and go, why did I tell them that? That's BS. And then later, 6 months later or a year later, they say, you were right. It was exactly like you said. And I know what I do. I don't make it up. I let them give it to me. So I'm going to try a little bit higher. And my guides or spirit guides are kind of laughing, saying if there's a judge in spirit who's kind of like looking out for Charles, and they do, they try and help him, that particular person, a spirit may come through to give us a little insight. Number one, I'm getting that Charles has done a lot of the right things in jail too, even though he's on death row for a guy in his position. I'm feeling he's bent over backwards in a way and maybe helped other inmates or even helped some children outside of the prison system, helped them with a little bit of dealing with their problems. I just feel there's a very good side to him.
I think so. I don't know him. You know, I've corresponded with him, and it's surprising how he thinks of others when he's on death row.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm getting, too, from someone above him right now. And it could be even a dad or a grandfather. It would be someone who would know his personality. But I thought that's a weird thing because he's got to be bitter. I would be. But yet, in spite of it all, he's still trying to tell his story and trying to help. And damn.
At one time, he tried to give up.
I don't blame him.
At first, he doubted whether or not he did it because he was intoxicated and blacked out.
That's scary.
And I think they targeted him because he had been in prison before, and he had been newly paroled, and and he lived in the neighborhood, and I think they focused on him. And the girlfriend or whatever, when he got out of prison, he met this girl, and she was expecting a baby, not his. And he kind of saw it as a new chance, and you know, kind of wanted a family life that he never had growing up. And when they arrested him, they basically, you know, threatened. He was probably out of it because he was on substances, and they threatened to arrest his girlfriend, who's never been in trouble from a good family.
Boy.
They threatened to arrest her and put her newborn baby in foster care, and he just said he'd do whatever they wanted him to
that
do.
That was the old days. They really did. Yeah, they
so
did that.
So that they let her go.
70s and 80s. Yeah, they did that.
So at one point, he just wanted to give up, and basically in prison, he just wanted to, this is what I've heard from him, from correspondence, not too many correspondences, but recent. He said he just wanted to do drugs and stay high until you know, and just forego his appeals and just die. And then a federal judge appointed, you know, and most of his appellate attorneys had just messed up this case and barred him from certain arguments. And at some point, a federal judge had asked a powerful law group to step in and help him with his appeals. And he was granted post-conviction DNA testing in early, mid-2000s. And they tested underneath her fingernail.
Yeah.
And his DNA was not found.
Thank God.
He has, well, here's the problem. He made a false confession. So even though the DNA basically exonerated him, the court found that, well, even without that, you know, even aside from the DNA, the jury could have convicted him on his confession. And he's basically, he's pretty much exhausted his appeal. So it's critical at this stage.
I'm wondering if that's what that gum chewing was all about, because that's kind of a classic DNA, like, what would you call it? Like, say you take the gum out of your mouth and you put it in the thing and throw it in the trash. I mean, that'll definitely get you burned. I mean, we know there's DNA on the gum. I'm wondering
if Charles has his, you know, he was convicted. The murder happened in 92. He was convicted in 94. I think they granted his post-conviction DNA testing in 2006 or 2009. Of course, there's problems with the Houston Crime Lab, so it was either evidence was missing or degraded. They had a lab perform DNA testing for the materials underneath her fingernails. Mm-hmm. There was not much left because the lab had utilized a lot of it. But they came back with either it was type A or type AB, you know, either matched the victim or was a mixture with another person. And Charles has type O blood. And there was no DNA. There was none of Charles' DNA was found. And not only that, her murder was brutal. She wasn't just stabbed in the heart. They cut her throat to where, I mean, it was a very deep, severe cut. It was a very bloody crime scene. And there was no blood, nothing found on any of his clothing, shoes, or anything. So my suspicion is he, you know, everything is hinging on this false confession. And you know,
me too. As you're saying it all,
I find it hard to believe that after even, I'm sure, you know, these are old like crime scene photos, and I'm sure I haven't seen all of them, just a few. But, and you know, I'm no forensic expert, and I'm not a law enforcement officer, but I just don't see how it's possible. I mean, he can't be the world's most perfect criminal ever for there to be no DNA either way. No blood on him, no, just this man, you know.
It sounds like
been on death row for 25 years.
Can't imagine.
Been locked up for 27. And, you know, this post-conviction DNA testing, you know, brought life into him again, brought hope into him again, you know, that he was finally going to, you know, prove that he didn't do it. Even though he had doubt at some point, I guess the post-conviction DNA testing proved to him you didn't do it. And so here he is. He just got denied by the Supreme Court on a second habeas writ. And, you know, so this was a thought that came up. Let's reach out to the victim. What is the victim going to tell us? You know,
it's not him, and I'm getting it the whole time you're talking. It's not him.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, and I don't want to really be, it's not going to mean it's a bad reading if this doesn't happen, but while you were talking, there's no reason for me to see a very well-decorated Christmas tree, and when I see stuff like that, I'll ask my guides, like, why are you showing me that? And they said he will be out by Christmas.
Well,
or at least exonerated by Christmas, you know, or December, so I got to wonder, like, well, why are they showing me that if it's wrong or if it's a lie? They never lie to me. They don't give me bogus stuff. They don't do that.